Welcome to our second segment of this afternoon's program. It's Sunday, the 6th of March, 2022. It is now 1:15 in the studio. I'm your host, Kieran Murdoch. One of Antigua and Barbuda's greatest cultural icons and musicians, Sir MacLean Emmanuel, a Calypsonian better known by his name King Shortshirt, has recently celebrated his 80th birthday. The Prime Minister, Gaston Brown, suggested that Sir MacLean ought to be named a national hero. It has reignited some debate about who is worthy to be given such status and what such status is actually supposed to represent. Personal achievement, nation building, a variety of things is what comes up every time you speak to anyone about the issue. Now, debates over the status of national hero are regular. They do occur from time to time. The former Prime Minister, Lester Bird, was made a national hero, whilst many doubted his worthiness. The former Premier, Sir George Walter, his national hero designation was recently challenged by the Prime Minister, in fact. And as a recent piece by Giselle Isaac pointed out, there is a debate, or there are debates rather, surrounding other Antigua national heroes as well. Next door in Barbados, Rihanna's being made a national hero there sparked similar discussions. So on this segment, we ask what defines a national hero and when is someone worthy. We have four persons joining us on our panel, all on Zoom this afternoon. Ms. Crystal Howell. She's a certified internal auditor, a member of the Thorne Commission on Local Governance, and an advocate for integrity and accountability. Good afternoon to you, Ms. Howell. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be here today, and I thank you for asking me to join the panel on what promises to be a very interesting discussion.
We have Ms. Barbara Arundel. She's an author, a literary enthusiast, and a cultural enthusiast as well. Good afternoon to you, Ms. Barbara Arundel. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm well. It's good to be here.
We have, once again, joining us out of Barbados, Professor Don Marshall, a political scientist with a professorship in international political economy and development studies. He's currently the director of the Sir Arthur Lewis Institute at the University of the West Indies Cavehill campus. Among his publications, he co-edited the book The Empowering Impulse, The Nationalist Tradition of Barbados, which was published by the UE Press in 2001. Good afternoon to you, Professor Don Marshall. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's good to be part of this discussion and esteemed panel.
And finally, we're joined by Reverend Canon Reed Simon. Reverend Simon is an Anglican priest serving in the island of Anguilla. He is the founder of the Shalom Institute, which is an organization that researches human rights issues, provides counseling and capacity building initiatives. He serves on the steering committee of the APJN, which is the Anglican Peace and Justice Network, and he writes and comments on the issues of public theology and the intersection of faith and society in a weekly publication called the Shalom Initiative. Happy to have him with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Reverend Simon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Kieran, and to your listeners, and good afternoon to my fellow panelists. Thankful to be here and look forward to sharing in what I believe should be an interesting discussion.
Ms. Barbara Arundel, I wonder if I could begin with you just to ask you, and I'll put the same question to all of our guests, to ask you, when we speak about someone being made a national hero, oftentimes different persons have different understandings and views of what generally that can be. I wonder, what are your general thoughts on it? We generally look to a national hero to be someone who's contributed quite a bit in some field or in some respect that it has impacted the nation positively. How would you put it in your words?
Okay, so when we think of a hero, just simply starting with that word, we're looking at a person who, you know, is admired for their courage, their outstanding achievements, and other notable qualities, so to speak. When you're then talking about a national hero, you're looking at someone who, in my opinion, has gone above and beyond all the other heroes. And in some ways, we have to figure out what that criteria then is. What makes one person a greater hero than all these other amazing people? Because every country is filled with heroes. What makes somebody so outstanding that we want to bestow that title on them of national hero? And to prepare for this, I went looking at the other Caribbean islands to see how many national heroes they had and what was it that was used as a criteria, or, you know, that sort of thing. And I found that in many cases, politics or political figures seem to have the top of the list, freedom fighters as well. Of course, we're now looking at cultural icons as heroes, but I think one of the key things for us to do right now is to define what exactly do we mean when we are looking at someone and considering them to be a national hero. And that I couldn't find in our National Heroes Act. But I guess that's another part of the discussion.
Ms. Crystal Howell, what is your perspective joining us from Barbados? What would you view a national hero to be?
Well, in preparation for this discussion, I made sure that I kept on my auditor hat. And what we usually do is to find the criteria first, because I could have my personal opinion about what a hero represents, and someone else would have a completely different representation. And it's not necessarily that anyone is wrong, but it might be best to at least start with what the country has determined or defined as a national hero. And when I went into the National Heroes Act for Antigua, unfortunately, the criteria was a bit vague, because it basically said it would be conferred to someone who has performed a heroic act or rendered a heroic service to Antigua and Barbuda or to humanity at large. When I looked at the criteria for Barbados, because this became a topic of discussion for us when Rihanna received her title, the definition for as the criteria for eligibility was, in determining the eligibility, you have to have given outstanding service to Barbados, and the contribution has altered the course of the history of Barbados, or you have given service to Barbados which has been exemplified by visionary and pioneering leadership, extraordinary achievement, and the attainment of the highest excellence, which has redounded to the honor of Barbados. And the last option was through heroic exploits and sacrifice contributed to the improvement of the economic and social conditions of Barbados and Barbadians generally. And the second criteria was the one that was used as the reason for why Rihanna would have received that honor. There would have been requests from the Barbadian public to submit nominations, and of those nominations, it was determined that Rihanna would have been the person that best fit the criteria. The problem comes, which I agree with, I definitely do agree with Miss Arundel, that it becomes a bit vague when you have a committee who's going to be determining these things, how they determined out of all the list of nominees that this person was the best. And we can get a bit more into that, where you look at not just their contribution, whether they're financially wealthy, philanthropic, and everything else, but because our cultural identity sometimes has not been fully defined, it is difficult when you have persons in the cultural industries saying this person should be recognized as a hero based on the criteria that would have been outlined. And whether we consider ourselves to be conservative or liberal, that has also come into play as to how persons feel about persons receiving this title. Do they match the conservative nature that Barbados has tried to establish itself to be versus the more liberal approach, which seems to be the direction that Barbados is heading? So it has become more of an argument as to whether the person fix those criteria as opposed to the actual criteria that has been defined in our act or the achievements that they have made.
Reverend Simon, what is your view from an Antigua Barbuda context and even from a wider Caribbean context in terms of how we view a national hero, how you view a national hero and how you think the public views a national hero?
Thank you, Kieran. It is a struggle, and I'm not so sure that there's any one definite way of looking at it. I will probably begin by saying that in the church, we have something called hagiography or hagiography, depending on pronunciation. And it has to do with those who become saints in the church. And basically, all of the time, you never have one set of people who are in agreement. People differ. But in terms of being elevated to the rank of one of the highest saints, for want of a better phrase, you bear things in mind like sacrifice, things like maybe even martyrdom, changing the course of history, as the case may be. In terms of Antigua and Barbuda, we have been divided as far as national heroes are concerned. And I think your opening salvo set the tone for the discussions that we've been having in Antigua and Barbuda. The challenge is we do not have clearly defined the criteria as to who is a national hero. Therein lies a challenge. So a number of persons will have differing views. Persons will have their opinions. But in terms of the collective, it is not there, because somehow in our act, it is not clearly defined as to who is a national hero. In fact, I went to research it, and basically it just gives you the understanding that the committee will make a recommendation to the Prime Minister, who will advise the Governor General accordingly. Of course, the committee can be charged with making investigations, but investigating what? Are we looking at morality? Are we looking at ethics? Are we looking at financial capability? Are we looking at sacrifice? And so there is no clear definition as to how we proceed on affirming a national hero. And I'm part of the body of those who struggle, because we have not clearly articulated what or who can be a national hero, what makes a national hero.
And I'll ask Professor Don Marshall. I'll also mention here that Professor Don Marshall is also the author of Rihanna as a Global Icon and Caribbean Threshold Figure, which was in the book Rihanna, Bad Girl Done Best by Sir Hilary Beckles and Heather Russell, which was also published by the UE Press. Professor Don Marshall, still muted on Zoom there, you have to unmute. But Professor Don Marshall, let me ask you, for your view on this subject, in terms of how you view a national hero and how you've understood the public's view of a national hero to be over time.
Thank you again. The speakers before me touch on a number of the controversies and tensions associated with trying to batten down who and what would constitute a national hero. I think everyone is spot on, and it's also in accordance with my overview of what different governments seem to say, not only in terms of setting up the committees to overview and oversee choices, but even in statements that are made about, you know, who has been the true champions of the nation and so on, you get a sense that there's a broad understanding that some kind of heroism is to be embraced. You know, heroism on their part is supposed to be embraced. But thematically, I think what holds the discussions in the newspapers and by different people together is the importance of agency, the importance of these subjects who, by their example, overturn colonial scripts of some kind and of some making. Why I think national becomes important as we join national to the hero is we have to remember that this space was configured as degenerate, right? During the plantation slavery past and the colonial extension thereafter. These spaces were, and its people were deemed degenerates, right? So struggles for emancipation and empowerment across political, social, economic, cultural identity realms become very important if we trace this historically and in the contemporary moment. This contemporary moment is about overcoming coloniality in all its guises. I mean, we must see that as part of the independence project. I am not, therefore, that disturbed that the criteria continues to shift, because I think consciousness registers are never fixed. They shift over time with events and so on. The consciousness, for example, around Black Lives Matter, as opposed to just simply saying all lives matter, came to a sort of crystallizing moment with the George Floyd death. I think people got the point. Similarly, in our own countries, as you will find that with the diverse names of heroes and the agencies and the agency explored in sports, culture, politics, art, economics, the range of disciplines and endeavors, I think with each edition, people get a broader understanding through the debates and discussions about what really is the importance and symbolism behind their agency and their actions that we should uplift, that we should put an accent to, that we should recognize, represent that critical advance towards self-empowerment. And anything that beats back colonial stereotypes of who we are as a geography and as a people becomes critical in the choice. From my reading of selections, it then becomes critical of the choice. Now, I can agree with you if you go granular that there's a lot of elite bias involved in the selection process. And there is a sense in which the people sometimes are inadvertently left out. But the way organically some names, like the proposed one for Antigua Barbuda, Sheraton Lake Rihanna, the way in which organically they're seen as celebrities, as worthy, as worthy of consideration, and so on. I think that works to make some of them popular over others that might appear obscure from other ways in which we choose and select heroes. Mm-hmm. But that notwithstanding, mm-hmm. I strongly believe that it is a good thing that the criteria is not necessarily fixed, and that the criteria continues to reflect increasing uplift in our consciousness and awareness of who we are in mm-hmm. this world and the kinds of examples that we want to put up there, not to lionize any human being, mm-hmm. but to recognize their agency is important.
And Ms. Arundel, I wonder if I could come back to you. Take Antigua and Barbuda, for example, and it's also true of many other Caribbean islands. Our initial national heroes will have been persons of political importance, unionists, trade unionists, labor movement persons, political leaders, persons who agitated at a time and a period in the history of the Caribbean when that was the fight to be fought. I've had a friend of mine make the argument to me that our concept and understanding of a national hero has to change in line with the times, in that the independence struggles, well, many might disagree, but the independence struggles are by and large over. And so the persons who are leading your society, who are the leading figures in your society, will no longer be persons noted for their political agitation. Not to say it can't happen, but it's much less likely to, given the social circumstances that have changed. And so more so we will see cultural icons and civic icons that will take a leading stance in terms of being considered for national hero status. Is that something you agree with, that we are sort of transitioning away from political persons being the obvious choices for national hero and to a position where other persons in society for their cultural and other contributions would be more considered?
I think what we find when we go through the list of national heroes in our region, so typically we find somebody who was involved in a slave revolt. You know, you have Cuffy, you have Prince Class, you have these various people in the Nanny. And then, yes, you have the trade unionists, you have the political figures. And so, yes, we continue to evolve and we find other people. The question, we have sporting heroes. I think that after the politician came the sporting heroes, and then perhaps we're now moving into people in other cultural aspects. So our musicians are right up there at this point in time. But I do perhaps disagree a little bit with the professor in terms of leaving it totally open, because whereas Barbados has some criteria, as was pointed out, we basically have none. Our act spends about 3 pages defining who should be qualified or who should sit on that committee. And then a couple of paragraphs stating the person should be basically Antigua and Barbuda and should be considered worthy. And that's it. You know, I do think that there's something more should be put in place so that we can give it some thought. I've had people say to me that, similar to the church, where most saints tend to be people who have lived their complete life, that our national heroes should be, or people who are being considered for national hero status, should have completed their life. Because although the act allows for the revocation of the award, the recognition, what happens if you have a national hero selected at a young age or any age, and then that person does something that seems totally out of character for a hero? You know, do we then revoke it? Is that okay? Is the person no longer a hero? Or is that person a hero based on what they did at that particular point in time and that particular contribution? So many things I believe need to be looked at. And that is one of the challenges that we have at this point in time.
Let me, I wonder if I could bring in Ms. Crystal Howell. Ms. Howell, I think this was somewhat of a debate in Barbados when Rihanna was being named the national hero. Of course, the sort of cultural icon that she is globally, and then, of course, the music and pop industry, as well as other industries. You know, it's the norm for icons of that nature to involve themselves in routine scandal. It's just part of their profession, and so the question was asked whether or not that is worthy, or such behavior is worthy of the title national hero, in addition to all the philanthropy and the good works and so on and so forth. But what's your position then? I mean, because I tell you, somebody sent to the WhatsApp board, you know, the picture of Rihanna. Of course, we know now that she's pregnant. There's this picture of her in this black gown. I think you probably know the one that I'm talking about. There's somebody that sent a WhatsApp to the board.
You were being very nice.
There's somebody that sent a picture to the board asking, is this how a national hero dresses? What's your view on this issue?
I think you were being very nice when you called it a gown, because it is lingerie. The reality is she has become an icon because of her astute business knowledge where it comes to the cosmetic industries and the lingerie industry. And I will say that has been pretty much the root of the contention persons have had. And I know the most spirited debate I had was with the ambassador CARICOM, because he was adamant she should not have been made a national hero. And it did not matter how many of her accolades I laid out, that is the root of why persons are uncomfortable. We do have a very conservative society, and it is not really necessarily related to age. There are persons who are much older than me that are very happy that she's a hero, and there are persons who are much younger who are embarrassed that their national hero can be seen with her body exposed in lingerie that is extremely racy and those kind of things. But I think what we need to do is to define, how do we value a person's contribution? Is it with how they present themselves, or is it with the intellectual capacity or the work that they have performed? If we are looking at it solely at the contribution she has made, and there are a lot of persons who are very upset whenever you bring up the fact that she is one of the two black female billionaires in the world, because then it makes it seem as though it's all about money. For me, it has not been. And it isn't even only about her philanthropy across the globe, and particularly in Barbados. It has been about how she has changed the way certain key things have been perceived, particularly for women. And when we look at the story behind even her cosmetic line and her lingerie, you would not believe that in 2022 that we now have to be tapping into makeup that speaks to women of color, or for lingerie that is inclusive of all body types and does not elevate one over another, or for what has been happening, that for a particular body type to be elevated, another one has to be demolished. Rihanna has celebrated all body types and has created an inclusive language where all women can be celebrated, and that is something that has been missing for a very long time, that has brought the entire globe together to celebrate and say women of color are deserving of being able to show and enhance their beauty as much as any other skin color without tearing down the other skin colors that have been catered to. these are conversations that are very important for us to be having. These are things that she advocates for, in addition to her education, in addition to her efforts in tourism to promote Barbados, in addition to her philanthropy, which also should not be diminished. And the one thing that many persons have ignored is her musical talent, which for persons that, again, this is something that has been very uncomfortable. When I listened to the proposed national hero for Antigua, his music sounds exactly like the kind of music Barbados wants to promote as the music that should represent us as a country. Bob Marley's music sounds exactly like the kind of music that when you hear it, you can say this is Jamaican music. The reality with Rihanna's music is that it has not necessarily been something that traditionally Barbadians can say you listen to it and that is Barbadian or Bajan music. So it is another reason why persons, even from a cultural aspect, have been uncomfortable with naming her as a national hero because they do not feel as though how she has presented herself has represented. And the last issue I would discuss that I think has made persons uncomfortable with her being a national hero is the fact that it isn't because she was in Barbados that she became who she was. She had to leave Barbados to become the person that she is. And it speaks to not just Barbados, but throughout the Caribbean, where for us, the potential that we have and the strength that we have as a people has to be recognized when we leave, and then it's developed and then it can be appreciated. And this is something that was highlighted even at our Republic ceremony, where why is it that we have to go outside to become our truest potential and then have to be recognized after? So there are a number of issues that have come up, not just the basic ones that we have been highlighted, but there's a lot under the surface that I think Dawn for sure would definitely get further into and dig deeper.
Well, our time is not unlimited. So if there are any issues that anybody has wanted to raise or wants to raise, please do as we continue. Reverend Simon, let me ask you whether or not what you think about this issue, perhaps of a culturally relevant contribution, because you may have somebody like King Shortshirt whose art form and whose music and whose lyrics over time have been relevant to the region, relevant to the Caribbean, to Antigua and Barbuda, has been part of a critical commentary on affairs that has raised awareness and challenged things as they are, challenged the status quo, and informed and entertained people and become a very important part of our whole understanding and ethos of ourselves, just like literary works and so on. And then you may have another person whose work is relevant on an international stage. Maybe they're just the top of their game within a certain genre internationally, but it may not be that their work has been a particular comment on the affairs of their own nation or particularly culturally relevant to the affairs of their own nation. Is it necessary that be the case, that they have a culturally relevant contribution in terms of someone who is either in literary arts, performing arts, or something like that, or by the simple fact that they are the top of their game on the international stage, does that not warrant the same recognition?
I think where we are concerned at this time, especially in terms of King Shortshirt, we cannot deny that his music has transcended time. Interestingly enough, I should have been in Antigua last weekend to share in the celebration of his 80th birthday, but you know, other and deep work commitments precluded me from sharing. But one of the things I realize is that his music has transcended time. You could take any one of his songs from the 80s, early 90s, and put it in today's context, and it is very much applicable. So what we have here is a cultural phenomenon that has transcended time. It is worthy of recognition. My only challenge is that when we talk about elevating cultural people, and being a national hero must not be linked only to political persuasion, political inclinations, and one should not be made a national hero through political machinations.
we can really make the point that a national hero can come from varying spheres. What is the criteria? And therein lies the struggle. Do we think of things like a significant and lasting contribution? Do we think of that the lives of others have been enriched? And I think in a lot of ways, a lot of Antiguan lives have been enriched by King Shortshirt's presentation. I don't think that it has touched the number of Antiguans that it that he could have touched or his music should have touched, because one of the things, and we have to be honest with ourselves as Antiguans, is that we like to cannibalize our own. And so we do not give the kind of credibility and witness to our own people that we should. So his music now should form a part of discussion in our schools, in our organizations, in our groups, because we realize this is something that spoke to liberation and affirmation of a people and their identity. And certainly his legacy had stood the stood the test of time. Yes, there may be political allegiances involved here or there, but let us look beyond that. And certainly as a cultural icon, we can see that his music has contributed to the quality of life for Antigua and Barbuda. In the Calypso arena, it is certainly music that, you know, has been outstanding and of which all Antiguans can be proud. My only challenge is that I just don't want us to say that we're going to make him a national hero just for so. Let us set the criteria in place so that we can say to persons, this is why he has become. So it's not a sort of questionable red ink question mark situation down the ages for those who may come after us.
Mr. Don Marshall, let me bring you in here. Anything you want to contribute at this point? I will just pick up on something Reverend Simon said to say that I've heard this debate sometimes between sort of understanding from a public perspective why someone has been elevated, awarded, or recognized. And very often, not always, but very often, sometimes what I find is that there's actually literature, there's actually a biography, there's actually work that's out there to be consumed about what they have done that sort of proves and demonstrates it, just that, you know, the public at large is not consuming it. And in official, in an official context, it's not something that's on a curriculum. It's not something that people are, you know, mandatorily digest. It's not to say it hasn't been researched, written, and proven. It's just that people are not aware. Is it anybody's job to make people aware? I mean, if the person has done what they've had to do, well, you know, they deserve the award. What do you think? Regardless of whether or not the public has taken the time to appreciate all the writing that has been put out about what they've done. You're still muted there, Mr. Professor Marshall.
Thank you. I think we underestimate the extent to which 50 years of statehood, independence, etc., is not a long time. Building that cultural consciousness and understanding who we are as a people and our relationship and how to navigate our relationship with the rest of the world is a project that is that remains ongoing. You know, I am not too put out by the relaxed definitions that I've seen, because I do recognize that from time to time there will be additions, there will be refinements, and so on. You know, I don't think we'll ever get to this point where you can have a selection process that's based on subjective assessments about who should be, you know, a hero and the rest of it. It took a long time for, I mean, around the world, this is quite the usual affair. It's not, what we're discussing here is not entirely unusual or specific to the Caribbean. Hailing and celebrating one of your own or a few of your own is always going to be a controversial one for the point of view of those who disagree. What I think represents best practice is when the selection committees are far more inclusive and not just simply elites in government, business, and academy just simply sitting down and making those decisions. And to add to a point you make there about the importance of raising consciousness about not just these people, but the movements and the ideas that they represent, I think that's very critical. I mean, my friend, in my closing remarks, I would say that, you know, if you have a if you have an appreciation for the point, the feminist standpoint, the importance of not policing women's right to be, not engaging in some kinds of social surveillance of what women can dress, wear, how they express their themselves. If you could tap into that, then you could understand Rihanna's politics. And then the other thing is about politics. Politics with a capital P, representative elective politics, is one thing. Politics of saying who you are, this is what I represent, and who I am, with a common P is another. And when that's recognized and accepted as important, as an important empowering statement to make, I think then we come a little closer to the cultural embrace of a number of these proposed persons once it's done in a broad enough
Let me jump in and ask you a question, Dr. Professor Marshall. The question of age. People usually debate age sometimes in terms of naming a national hero, because a lot of people fear that if you name someone... Well, not just that, but a lot of people fear that if you name a national hero who is particularly young, that there is a lot of time for them to do something which is unworthy of national heroship, as opposed to naming someone who is elder and retired. What do you think about that?
I understand that. I think it is I understand the point and the force of the point behind that. But at the same time, you know, some of us need to just accept that all of us are human and will err and would sin and would make mistakes and would make errors. And there's a process in place to remove someone if that person has crossed the line beyond a national acceptance, as it were. But I think we live with these things. I mean, we in other places and in our own spaces, we've seen people who have reached the top and by exposure of some deed that they've done in the past, they're asked them to step down and be removed. This will happen. This is part of living. This is part of who we are as human beings that are not perfect at all. And because we are sinners who try, the importance of elevating someone is to just celebrate their agency. And I think we get caught too much up in trying to lionize an individual as some role model and hero that I must worship and so on and follow. And I think that's where it gets messy. In the example of Short Shirt, you've got two songs that I picked up, Nobody Gonna Run Me and Press On, Don't Give Up. Now, these two songs by Short Shirt are inspirational songs that can play anywhere in the world, right? One is about defiance. You know, I will challenge arbitrary authority wherever it resides. And that's not making a statement, a political statement with a capital P. That's making a statement politically in your life, at the workplace, in your home. I will challenge arbitrary authority. His other song, Press On, Don't Give Up, is inspirational. That's as inspirational as a great Maya Angelou poem. But we need to find ways to embrace our own people, our own griots, you know, and without necessarily looking at whether or not, and I don't think this applies to him, but whether or not he was a womanizer or he was unfair to someone, or, you know, the thing about it is a Short Shirt represents in the best of himself by his agency a collective sense of what we aspire to be. His lyrics, the growth and transformation of his music, reinscribes the importance of constantly looking to better oneself, constantly looking to reinvent and refine who we are, you know, as a country, and so on and so forth. I celebrate Short Shirt for the example of his agency when he was at his best, doing his God-given talent, and that's it.
I think I'm going to
you
give.
Know, if he's the point being that if there's something that has that happens next year that makes us say, "Oh dear, this is a fall from grace," we learn to as a society about human failing. That's all.
I'm going to bring in Miss Barbara Arundel and give her the opportunity to leave us with a final word because we are over time. Feel free to comment on anything that you've heard so far or to just give us some final thoughts based on anything that the speakers have said on the last round.
Well, If we're questioning Rihanna's position due to her lingerie, then I think it's unfortunate. I think that we want to be able to move beyond such things. I find it interesting that if we skip across the water to Jamaica, Bob Marley is still not recognized as a national hero in terms of that label being given to him by officialdom. Of course, I think that most Jamaicans, most Caribbean people think of him as a hero. And so that really comes down to that's the question we're asking. What's the difference between somebody being someone we respect, we admire, that we recognize as having gone above and beyond many other people? What is the difference then between those many and yet still few, you know, select people who have risen so high to somebody who we're then going to call a national hero? In Antigua and Barbuda, for some strange reason, our first three prime ministers have been accorded that honor. And many people question that and ask the question then, will the following two automatically get it? Criteria for me is really, really important. We must decide that there are certain things we're looking for in a national hero. And then we must have a large grouping of people helping to make that decision, and perhaps over a period of time. So there's little reason to question that person receiving.
Could I jump in really quickly? Really quickly, because there's a question that popped up on the board that asked whether or not you might think that the public ought to have some say in who becomes a national hero. And along those lines, I'd also put in, at least if I'm not incorrect, in Antigua, the substantive committee that makes the determination involves parliamentarians. And I think that over time that has colored the type of persons who have been considered in terms of party persons considering their leaders and their party stalwarts. So in terms of the process, do you think there's a better way to do it in terms of the process that would remove particularly the sort of political questions around who becomes, oh, it's because that person knew so and so, or that person was sympathetic to this party, and or that person was the leader of this party? Do you think that we could escape that were we to reform the process and remove the politicians, basically?
Yes, the question is, I mean, why are the politicians there in the first place in terms of doing that? They have so many other things they should be doing. Why are they forming this committee that determines who our heroes and our people who are going to be receiving honors in general? Because once we leave them with that responsibility, we're also giving them that power over people. And you know, they have enough power as it stands. So yes, I definitely think that we need to decentralize that process. Right now, it says two senators, one must be an opposition senator, four members of, of parliament, and one must be from the opposition. So that automatically leaves us with a power situation. Mm-hmm. So yes, one party can determine who will be the next national hero. And that doesn't seem right, because this person represents Antigua and Barbuda. And so more Antiguans and Barbudans from all aspects of life should have a say in who becomes a national hero representing us. Who is the best of us? We should determine that, not just some people who may be looking for someone to support their political party and their political agenda.
I'm gonna actually jump to Reverend Simon very, very quickly. There's another question I just got, Reverend Simon. I wonder if I could put it to you. The person spoke about King Shortshirt, but they mentioned that in terms of being a performer, that in many instances there were others who composed his songs and lyrics. Would those persons be worthy of recognition as well? I mean, if you're the person behind the lyrics that are so famous in the performance.
And Kieran, therein lies a struggle. Eh? Therein lies a struggle for us, and as we evolve, because we talk about Bob Marley, and persons have been advocating for him to become a national hero in Jamaica. Did Bob Marley write all of his songs? We don't know. It is something for us to consider, but where Shortshirt is concerned, and I'm not here advocating for or against him or with the national hero status, but then what happens is that Shortshirt, bar none, he made his songs come alive, his performance. Yes, someone wrote them, but he delivered them. He made them come alive. I think in DJ Isaac's article, she actually
expounded on that very well, how it is that he made the songs come alive. People felt like they were in the songs themselves. And in the process, we have to now decide, well, is he going to be given that status, or do we take his songwriter? It is a challenge, and this is why the discussion cannot end today. Mm-hmm. It is something that has to go on. And I think as we evolve, I think Professor Marshall indicated that we're young democracies, 40, 50 years in, for the most part. Our own identity has not been cemented as yet. And so as we grow, we need to start thinking about all these things. But certainly for Antigua and Barbuda, it's something that we need to do, because I think if we continue at the rate we're going, our per capita, as far as national heroes are concerned, without the criteria in place, we could end up with basically the most national heroes any place on the face of this planet.
Perhaps that simply means we are a stellar and outstanding country. With that, we can leave it there.
Praise the Lord for that, then.
I want to say thank you to all four of our guests this afternoon. Ms. Crystal Howell, a certified internal auditor and a member of the Thorne Commission on Local Governance, an advocate for integrity and accountability. She joined us from Barbados. We were also joined out of Barbados by Professor Don Marshall, a political scientist and a professor of international political economy and development studies. And here in Antigua and Barbuda, we're joined by Ms. Barbara Arundel, an author, a literary enthusiast and a cultural enthusiast as well. And finally, of course, by Reverend Canon Reed Simon, an Anglican priest serving in the island of Anguilla. Thanks to all four of you. We'll just play this clip to outro us before we hit the Big Issues theme.
Work, we can even find. Life seems a waste of time. Nothing to do but sit around the corner line. Though frustrated, some would rather starve than beg. Others turn to crime and steal what they can get. And the judges have no sympathy. They're hammering everyone that they catch. Even little children are jailed without regret. When they have power and authority, they don't give a damn about you or me. Or what they do, lock me up when they catch me smoking little tampi, while the social rich are freed, exploiting, oppressing, less freedom, more suffering. A poor man's life is really hard indeed. Think it